She's a mother. Happy Mother's Day to you, Ms. Katie McDonald.
Oh, Sarah Jane, thank you. I was just saying to Jeremy, it's bittersweet. It really is. I mean,
because you're not with your babies, are you? I mean, they're not babies, but you're not with them.
No, they always are your babies. And, you know, it's the first time in a few years that I'm actually feeling settled. I now have a little place and all of that.
Yes, full of your IKEA furniture.
Yeah, it's a homage. It's not homage. My late mother, who only passed away 2 years ago, had some very, very funny IKEA stories from, anyway, that I'll share with you on our own.
Yeah.
But, it is sad. I'm not going to lie. I went to bed last night sad, and my daughter kind of said, look, Mum, you know, why do we need one day to celebrate, you know, you being a mother? And then I woke up to a lovely message from one of my sons, the one that's in London, saying, you know, he did try to call, but I was asleep and missing me. But it's really hard. It's difficult.
No. I was just going to say, listen, I'm sure there are lots of mums, and this blasted COVID has also put us in this situation, hasn't there? There's lots of mums, including mine, who, although it's not Mother's Day in England, so every year when I wish her Mother's Day on this day, she sort of goes, oh, well, it's not Mother's Day here. But regardless, she gets 2 days, and so she said, because she deserves it. But it is tough when you're not with your mum, kids, whoever it may be. So we are sending you love this morning.
Thank you. And love to all of the mothers. As I've heard said, we might not all be mothers, or one might not be a mother, but we all have a mother.
Yeah, true. And, true story.
Yeah, very special. Yeah.
Very, very special. Right, to the matter at hand, Ms. McDonald. And we've seen the stories continuing to come out of India about the dire situation there in respect of COVID. But many Australians still trapped. And as you were telling us last week, that some very strict laws that have now been put in place in Australia in terms of coming from India. What's the latest?
Yes, well, those laws are still in place. You know, Australia, it's a difficult thing because we haven't had, during this time of COVID, and I do understand that it's a complete unknown and there's so much we still don't know, but we haven't had a great track record when it comes to bringing our Australians home. And yes, so as I mentioned last week, they criminalise the return of anyone who had been in India in the two weeks previous to returning. And what's happening now is there are roughly 9,500 Australians who want to come home. There are 950 of those who are classed as vulnerable, but, you know, I mean, how far does that go? Concerningly, Sarah Jane, more than 170 unaccompanied children. So that's children under 18 outside a family group, and they're stuck there as well. And yeah, despite the fact that there are no flights right now, Qantas, even if they were flying, they don't take unaccompanied minors. So they're hoping that these repatriation flights, they have announced some special repatriation flights, which will be happening, but not till after the travel ban ends on the 15th of May. So it's also one of those situations, as you can imagine, Sarah Jane, we're hoping that that will happen and that flights will begin, but we just don't know. Mm. And then it's just been reported in the news that an Australian resident has passed away. They haven't confirmed that it's COVID, but it does look as though it is. His wife is stuck in the country. His children are here.
Sure.
And these stories are just, you know, they're coming out one after another. And people feel abandoned. They feel abandoned by their government. And also sort of abandoned to such an unknown situation. I mean, look, Australia is sending help. They are sending vaccines. They did look at a possibility of vaccinating Australians over there, but that's just logistically impossible. They are vaccinating all diplomatic and consular staff. And I think before people kind of roll their eyes, as they say, you know, we have to make sure that those helping Australians in India remain COVID-free. But it's an ongoing situation, and there are some very, well, when I say very, many, many concerned families here with regards to their loved ones that are literally trapped in India.
And you mentioned those unaccompanied children. If you're interested in reading further, there's a devastating article actually on the BBC news page under the Australia heading about a little girl. She's 5 years old she's separated from her family because of these restrictions imposed by Australia. Very, very, very difficult state of affairs. Sticking with COVID, and restrictions have now been placed on Greater Sydney and the surrounding areas. A couple have tested positive for COVID. What do we know about the couple and where they've been?
Well, hello. I know where they've been because one of the big places, or one of the, beware, is my local supermarket.
Eish, exactly.
So I actually had a panicked phone call from a friend yesterday saying, "Were you there on that day?" I said, "Yes, I was." "What time were you there?" I said, "I don't know." She said, "Check your receipt." So I was there half an hour after. Okay, they give a little timeline because this, right. You know, the QR scanning codes have been pretty good. So just, you know, for information's sake, I'm isolating, and once we've finished this, I'm going to do a drive-through COVID test.
Right,
but
okay.
Yes. So essentially, it's a couple. It's quite bizarre. It's a couple in their 50s. They tested positive last week. They have had no obvious contact with anyone. But what is quite concerning is that it's the first known locally acquired case of the Indian variant.
Right.
So this Indian B.1. Whatever, you know, in New South Wales. And they do this genomic sequencing. So it's that revealed that the man's infection linked to an overseas traveller from the US who was quarantined at a hotel in Sydney. Mm. But he had no contact with this person. So the fear is that there's someone, at least one person, walking around in the community who doesn't know that they're infected. And, you know, you think, one couple, okay, potentially one person walking around. But if they don't know, and his viral load was such that he's classed as a super spreader, the man that, the couple, it's quite scary. So
it's such a juxtaposition, though, Katie, isn't it? When we go from talking about India, where the situation is absolutely dire, 400,000 cases reported in one day, new cases in one day last week, to now, you know, one person, the sort of missing link, trying to be, tracked down in Australia.
It is, but. You know, it adds, when I say it adds fear, it just adds more to what we don't know. And, I mean, one particular epidemiologist here he said that it's absolutely inevitable that we are going to have an outbreak.
Really?
And that, yeah, we need to be concerned. You know, we've also got this slow rate of vaccinations. I theoretically am eligible to have a vaccination. Sarah Jane, can I find out where and how? No.
Right.
It's so, you know, yes, we can't compare ourselves to a country like India and to many others.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that you've got to be on guard, and you don't want an outbreak.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's putting it quite simply.
Of course.
So, yeah, look, it's crazy, but hey, you know, and thankfully I've got a box full of masks, so they're by the door.
Well, we're hoping that your test comes back negative, of course. If you're just joining us this morning, we're chatting, of course, to our Australia correspondent, Katie McDonald, who joins us on Sunday mornings every week live from Sydney to give us the latest from the Antipodes and surrounds. All right, tell me about these vaccine tours. What is a vaccine tour, please? And who is going on one?
Isn't it great? Well, look, this has come out of Thailand. Travel agencies in Thailand, they're now touting these coronavirus vaccine tours. So currently they're selling them to the United States, to Russia, and I did see Serbia on the list, quite interestingly. And they're targeting wealthy Thais who are growing fairly impatient because the inoculations or mass inoculations, the actual program, is still a month away before it begins properly in Thailand. So they're saying to people, well, you know, you can go off to the United States, to Russia,
And
get your vaccinations. And absolutely, and get your jab. And look, if you've got the money, the prices that I've seen, they range from about $2,500 to $6,500. It depends on which dose you go for as well. You know, Johnson & Johnson, one jab, but apparently most of the people, 90%, want Pfizer. So then you've got to have 20 days between the first and second doses. But one point that was made is this could be a boost for their tourism agency.
I was just going to say, this is like, you know, you hear about all these different types of tourism and wellness tourism and all that kind of thing. Now it's vaccine tourism. I don't know how I feel about this, actually. I just think part of me sort of thinks, wait your turn. Until all, however, I don't know what the population of, I can't remember what the population of the States is, poor exemplar, but until everyone in the States has had their jab, I don't really think it's right that people are jetting in just because you've got the money to do it.
I get that. And hasn't it, this is something we've touched on, you know, with regards to all the COVID stories or many of the COVID stories. It yet again highlights the difference between the haves and have-nots. So all very well if you can hop on a plane and go off to be vaccinated. So many can't. And anyway, the one to Russia looks interesting. That's a 23-day tour, and you can get the Sputnik vaccine, Sarah Jane. So, another option.
I mean, yeah, it's an option if you've got the money. Let's talk Mother's Day. The Health Minister has confirmed, the Australian Health Minister has confirmed $354 million package for women's health. Well, that sounds like good news. What is the, how would one rate women's health and the government's dedication to it in Australia, do we think, Katie?
Well, look, to be honest, in general. Let me start by saying that last year's budget was highly criticised. They said they didn't do enough for women. So they're trying to turn the tables. To be fair, my only comparisons are the other countries that I've lived in, apart from, you know, what I've read about. But I think a lived experience is probably the most relevant way to give feedback. And that happens to be South Africa and Hungary. Now, to be honest, I think women's health here is pretty good. I really do, in the sense that, you know, the government, there's free mammograms for over a certain age and such things. But it's never enough. It's never enough. And budgets also, they're important. I'm not meaning to be cynical at all, because I say, great, throw money at all health and throw money at women's health. But budgets are also political tools. And on Tuesday, they're going to be going big. So interestingly enough, part of the budget, which we don't know anything about, they're going to be telling more, or the details will come out on Tuesday, is they're going to double funding for domestic violence to $680 million. That's a huge amount, but that's under wraps. Yeah, no, massive, 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 and sorely needed. But look, the healthcare package, it's one of the things too. Medicare covers a lot of things, but you still, in many areas, you still need private health. So what they're doing is this package, there are sums, for example, they've thrown out like over $100 million over 4 years to improve cervical and breast cancer screening programs. And the Australian government is looking to eradicate cervical cancer by 2025. It's a big plan. And they're also...
That's incredibly ambitious.
Donating. It is very ambitious. But we do have the vaccination program here. And, you know, by upping the screening programs, that's a big thing. Interestingly enough, 95.9 million for new tests, and that's going to come under Medicare benefits. the pre-implantation genetic testing of embryos for specific genetic or chromosomal abnormalities prior to pregnancy. So that's quite an interesting one. Mental health, love that. Nearly $50 million to help with mental health of new and expecting parents. So there are other items as well, eating disorders, drugs to help with things like premature labour, endometriosis, huge acknowledgement of the effect that endometriosis has on women. So, look, it's a good thing, Sarah-Jane, it really is. I welcome it, I do. And, you know, can you... Yeah, you say, how good are they? Yes, they are pretty good, but can you ever be good enough?
Yeah, I mean, listen, $354 million isn't a drop in the ocean. I mean, that's a considerable amount of money. Yeah, cynically, one might say, OK, well, this is your thing to lure female voters. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It's a substantial amount of money and good. We're going to have to end there, Katie, but you've got one more story for us. We know that, of course, inflation does interesting things to house prices for people who bought their houses some time ago. It's for many, they're sitting on a pretty penny, and that's exactly what's happened to this couple in Australia.
I'll share this very, very quickly. So this gentleman and his now late wife, but she was part of the decision. Yeah, they bought their house in 1973 in Melbourne, $28,000, wow. And they just sold it for $4.6 million. So that's about 150 times its sale price. But he and his family saw this. They referred to it as an unearned windfall profit. And because they didn't work for it, they weren't comfortable with keeping all of the money. Now, this is a very community-minded person. He's been a city councillor. He was mayor of the area for some time. He's aware of many of the social issues. So he looked at a whole lot of community housing organisations, and basically they're donating a huge chunk of that profit to an organisation that supports women and children fleeing family violence.
I love it. And
That was beautiful, goosebumps, and thank you for people like that.
Yeah,
good for them.
We need more people like that. Katie, we need more people like you. Happy Mother's Day to you, my love. We'll chat to you next week.
Thank you. All the best, Sarah-Jane. Bye.